In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is your voice of your Los Angeles Rams on preseason television. He's a diehard Browns fan. He's a diehard Guardians fan. And he's a friend of ours.
Yes.
He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Who doesn't like corn?
That's
local weather guy, Mark Johnson.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I guess. That's what Andy just said.
Yeah. Hey, before we how was the Olympics for you? I really enjoyed it.
Good job, man.
It was amazing. Thank you. Yeah, it was so cool, and I mean, we had so much fun, and it's hard to put into words like how amazing a crew we had. I've told people a bunch, and you know, this is going to sound arrogant. Like doing 10 football games at once on a red zone Sunday is easy in comparison to this. It's like you've done it for so long. It's us football. We know the names. You know the numbers.
Right.
Right. This is 39 sports and 10,000 athletes, and I can't do that. I mean, none of us could do that. It's we had a production and research staff there unlike any other I've ever been a part of or been fortunate and lucky to work with. And I mean, unbelievable job by that NBC crew. There are 2,500 people in the building in Stanford every day doing 39 sports and 16 control rooms. And it was an unbelievable experience.
Well, how many times did you have to read a name cold on the air? First time you'd seen it?
Plenty, actually. And I will say this too. You guys know this from going through media guides over the years. There are a lot of media guides that get pronunciations wrong because you have an intern that simply doesn't understand how to write things out phonetically, and they say it's this, and you go, actually, that it's not bad. You're not writing that out correctly. They were amazing, and I think I got most of them right. Although some of the names from the Balkans, some of those Georgian judoka or wrestlers or weightlifters, got me a couple of times, I think.
So just, again, I wish we would have talked before this. I'd give you my advice on this is just say the name with confidence and say it loud and say it fast. And that's all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, sometimes you'd be like on the international feed. Let's say we go to judo, for example, and you're bringing in an international feed and it's a British broadcaster who perhaps is putting his spin on the pronunciation. And then you look at what you have on paper and you go, that's not right. That's not what I have. But then there's a website that NBC had, or the Olympics had rather, set up where the athletes say their own names out loud. And then often it's three different kind of versions, right? What you have on paper, what the guy on the call is doing, and then what the athlete actually says. And you try to mimic exactly what the athlete is saying, but then again, it's in their native tongue and it's their name. And so sometimes you end up splitting the difference and pray that you're close.
Did you get the opportunity to do any coverage of breaking?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry.
What did you think?
I'm sorry for you.
It was an experiment.
I bet.
I think talking to some of the breaking people, because again, the breaking broadcast that you saw came from the building I was working in, the NBC headquarters in Connecticut. I think... And this is a one-time thing. Sports get a one-year trial balloon and then don't come back the next year. If it was well-received, it can come back in four additional years. So it can come back in 2032. The round-robin format maybe wasn't the best. It is a judged sport. And as the sport grows, you hope to get more and more people involved. And then, you know, you wouldn't have, and bless her heart, a regional qualifier from Australia that is hopping around like a kangaroo, right? And and maybe you might have a more depth of talent, perhaps, to make it look better.
Ah. Okay, yeah. So while we have you in line, should NFL guys be able to play in flag football in L.A.?
I mean, absolutely. But it's the middle of training.
Don't you think the way the NFL's pushing it, I would think they absolutely want these guys to play.
I would think so as well. And you're already hearing the pushback from the flag people, the people that have dedicated their lives to flag, or at least the last so many every years of their lives to flag, that, hey, we don't want to get pushed out. Okay, but, you know, you want to grow the game. I'd love to see Justin Jefferson out there. I'd love to see Tyreek Hill out there. But at the same time, it's going to be there in training camp. And, you know, for example, the last couple of years, we've seen Kevin Stefanski's, the look on his face when, you know, you get asked about, the Myles Garrett viral basketball video from the offseason. And he doesn't want him doing that. Obviously, he's been told, please don't do that anymore. Can you imagine sending guys off to play flag football in the middle of training camp and praying for them to stay healthy? It's going to be an interesting push-pull. We got 4 years to figure it out.
Your Cleveland Browns are beat up on the offensive line.
Not good. And there's an example of why flag football NFL coaches might say no way.
See, that's not a bad idea. That's really not a bad idea. If you're the Browns, do you have to rethink your plan to play starters against Seattle based on the fact that your offensive line is not good right now?
Yes. And look, we've had this conversation in the past, and I would say the same thing even if the Browns were the healthiest team of the NFL, which clearly they're not. No one is, unfortunately, at this point. But their injuries, notably on the offensive line, are not good. Matter of fact, they're bad. I said this to you guys last year, and I said it to you guys the year before, and it has the same thing to do with the Browns as it does to say with who played Brock Purdy playing yesterday for the Niners and Kyle Shanahan suggesting he's going to play in week 3 of the preseason. I am not for it. I don't think there is much of a purpose. My goal is to get healthy to week 1. I see Sean McDermott change his mind. He was going to play Josh Allen this weekend, then did not. I am not for it. I come from working with the Rams for 14 years in the preseason, the last 8 under Sean McVay. And the last 8 under Sean McVay, he has one rule and one rule only, and that is get healthy to week 1, and I don't want to see my starters. So much so that, you know, week 1 of the preseason, he didn't play Jared Verse or Braden Fisk, his first and second round picks. The highest draft pick they played was Cam Kitchens, the safety for Miami, the third round pick. And then after he played exceptionally well week 1, they sat him week 2. So the third round pick safety sat with Blake Corum, the third round pick running back, and they both sat week 2. In other words, I've seen enough. I talked to Blake Corum before the game on Saturday. What day was it? What day is this? On Saturday night. Yeah, and I said, what was that like? What is this going to be like? He's standing there and dry fit on the sideline. He's like, I've never done this before. I can't remember a time. And he's a guy that battled back from injuries. I mean, that was his calling card in Michigan, like perseverance. I can't remember a time where I've ever been healthy and been told not to play, but whatever. And, you know, he said it with a smile on his face. It's just a different attitude. And I think with the joint practices, and the Browns had another one last week against the Vikings, I am all for sitting out.
Andrew, do you think the future is going to be more joint practices and less preseason games? Where are we going with
this
thing? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the commissioner has made that very clear, whether it be during a Super Bowl interview or a Sun Valley interview, as they push towards 18 games. And, you know, eventually those conversations will be had seriously, as opposed to, you know, just throwing it out there on sports talk radio, that the obvious answer is you pull back on the preseason. And if it means cutting it to 2, then cutting it to 2. Look, we used to be 4. And then COVID happened. We had no preseason in 2020. Then we went to 3. I think we're eventually going to get to 2 and might even get to 1. It's about the joint practices. And if it means televising joint practices on NFL Network or on your local television to recoup some of that local TV money, then that's what they will do. They'll find a way to do that. Now, listen, I am all for preseason games to get more people in the building and to bring more fans, like fans that don't have the opportunity to pay regular season prices, or, you know, regular season and kids in school get in the way of getting into the building. You know, I make a point of giving my preseason tickets to friends and family who could bring their kids so they could have that experience. There is value locally, I think, definitely, to that. And do you lose a little bit of that if you go to a joint practice? Yes. It also keeps your team healthy, and that's the goal, or healthier.
Andrew Siciliano joining us. I think it's interesting, like a team like Kansas City plays its starters.
Yeah, look, Andy Reid has also the toughest. Mike Tomlin and Andy Reid probably have the toughest two training camps in the NFL. Physical, tough training camps. Ask any of their players. So, look, there are still old school ways to do it.
Your Guardians can't score. Your Guardians can't score runs right now.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was frustrating.
It was. To get four runs against Milwaukee on three home runs. It was like, wow, what happened to that team that was putting some stuff together and, you know, taking the extra base and turning it, getting a double and moving the guy over and scoring a run? And I'll say that after they just won five straight games and then, you know, lost three in a row. So they've just been a little streaky, but the offense continues to be a concern, maybe even more so.
Yeah, they're tough to figure out. I think there are a couple of trends here. Number one, teams have the last couple of weeks just simply stopped throwing the fastballs, period. It's all change-ups. It's all off-speed stuff. And it's not just, you know, me and Tom Hamilton noticing it. You can look at the pitch charts and look at the analytics. They're pulling the string, and they haven't adjusted. So, I mean, that is a huge, huge part of it. The other thing is, look, the Brewers, you got to tip your cap to them. They have one of the better team ERAs in baseball, and they showed why. They came in with a nearly identical record to the Guardians. I mean, this is a very good team. You didn't go up there and lose to a bunch of bums. But three in a row, and the fact that they scored, four runs in the entire series is upsetting. And I think as well, just their inability to get runs in when they were in scoring position Friday and Sunday. I didn't see Saturday's game, full disclosure. I was doing the Rams. But Friday and Sunday, they couldn't get guys in when they had them in scoring position. Now, Sunday, they only had the two. They only had the two guys on with those two singles in the seventh. But Friday, I think Daniel Schneeman, and I love the guy, I love the story, I think he left, four or five guys on in the first four innings. I'm curious what they do roster-wise because I don't know. There are a couple of bats in that lineup, and Will Brennan is back, and I think that's great. I think, you know, he used his time in Columbus well, and he's a valuable member of this team moving forward. But I think they got to make some tough decisions roster-wise and kind of move some pieces around.
I sit here and I look, and the Guardians have a 93.1% chance of making the playoffs. I think last week it was 90. It was like 97 last week.
Right. So let's be happy with the nice things we have. I get it. Yes.
Yeah. But when you look at how close things are, when you're looking at the standings, I mean, the Red Sox, how many teams are within in the American? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's like 10 teams within 10 games.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay, I don't know about them. So, you know, Seattle's at 9. So let's just go 9. And just in the American League, I mean, this is going to be a really fun month if you like to watch the scoreboard and look at standings.
Yeah. And
I didn't talk about the National League either. You know.
No, all right. And obviously they got a preview of that this past week. And taking the last two in Minnesota, considering the way the first two went, and then riding that momentum through the Cubs series felt really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Now you get the Yankees. Let's hope the day off, and I don't know. Maybe they go see a Broadway show. You know what? Go see a show on a Monday night. Get a nice meal and wake up. And I was just in the city last week. It's humid. It's sticky. It's, you know, it's the summer in the city. But you know, maybe they can enjoy their day off Monday. Go get a good meal. See a show. And I know that sounds silly, but wake up with a new attitude on Tuesday and go hit the Yankees. It'd be nice to see.
All right, I do want to go back to one other thing that we were talking about earlier: Noah Lyles against Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So there was all this talk the last couple of days about, you know, could they, and by the way, 50 meters instead of 100 meters is what they want to run. I don't
know. Mm-hmm. It's not what Noah Lyles wants.
If I was Noah Lyles, why would I want to run 50 meters? I don't understand that.
And he has a better close than he has a start. So.
Yeah. Look at the way Noah Lyles closed the final 30 meters in Paris. I would say this, and I would actually add to it. I'm not just shamelessly promoting my social media, but look at my Twitter, my Instagram, my TikTok. I put it on all three. I was in Seattle last week, and I was talking to DK Metcalf for Sirius. I was up there for XM, Sirius XM NFL Radio. And we have this conversation because you remember DK ran a 10.37 a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ran some track.
He ran in the Diamond League like a legit. I mean, the Diamond League, you guys have seen Sprinter on Netflix. I mean, that's the best of the best, right? And he ran a 10.37. And I said, point blank, I said, what could you give me if you dropped football and trained? What could you give me? And he didn't blink. He said, a gold medal. And I said, seriously? I said, you ran a 10.37. Noah Lyles ran a 9.79. And he said, I did a 10.37 at 240 pounds. And I said, okay, how much would you have to lose? Then he started laughing. He said, I'd have to cut off an arm and maybe a couple of toes. He said, but I firmly believe that, and it wasn't like Tyreek Braggadocio stuff. He said it very calmly with a smile on his face. That I firmly believe that if I could get down to 210, I could win a gold medal. Now, I don't know that he could do this. Like my guy Otto Bolden from NBC, who was their lead track analyst and was on the call there, commented on my IG saying, I don't get these football players thinking that they can run with the elite of the elite. But Tyreek Hill in high school, I mean, go Google. Tyreek Hill was among one of the fastest high school humans in America, period. I mean, he was running legit 200 numbers.
So when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, no, Lyles will smoke him. And then I was like, you know what? And then I started digging into his younger.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His younger numbers, and I don't think
Noah Lyles would smoke him.
Well, I think Noah
You think
Lyles
he would?
Yes.
I mean,
right now.
Noah Lyles
right now
is the fastest man on earth.
Right now.
Period.
Yeah.
Full stop.
So we talked about Noah Lyles even before the Olympics. We're like, well, I wonder what he would look like at wide receiver. We've seen that act before. But I also think that these guys do have world-class speed, probably could win golds, but they decided to take a different route. And they decided to go the football route rather than the track route. I think that's just the way life treated them. That's all.
Yeah, they're both exceptional athletes, Tyreek and DK. And they both, I'm sure, if they trained and dropped football and got in track shape, they both could be competitive. I doubt that they could actually win. Look, real quick about Noah Lyles. Mm-hmm. Noah Lyles is the best 200 runner in the world. Okay, he lost. I'm not blaming COVID specifically. He wasn't himself. And he lost. Okay, he still got a bronze, right? Which is absurd.
With COVID.
With COVID. Think about that.
Yes.
He got a bronze. Okay, the 200 was the given for him. Everyone told him he couldn't win the 100. He called the 200, he jokingly has always referred to as his wife. The 100 is his mistress, right? He's the best 200 runner in the world, right? He was supposed to win the 200. The betting odds were like through the roof. Okay, the 100 was one that everyone told him he couldn't get. If he had gotten the double, he would have been the first American man to do it since Carl Lewis in 84 in L.A., and the only other guy who's done it since then is Usain Bolt. So that's the kind of talent we're talking about. He would have gotten the 200 if healthy.
I think he would have, too.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great to have you with us, buddy.
Thanks, Andrew.
You got it.
Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Wins. And you think, okay, there's your correction. It's like the stock market. It was a really bad week, but boy, we had a correction this week. Then they go to Milwaukee, lose three straight, and score four runs in three games, and Aaron Civale stuffs it up there, you know what? Which, by the way, was just like, a little cherry on top, right? You wanted whipped cream and sprinkles. There it was, courtesy of Aaron Civale in the first game.
Jeff, Is there any part of you that thinks they hit the apex and they're falling off right now?
Yeah, okay. but I still think they can win the division. I'm a little concerned. I've been concerned about the offense all year. They've obviously done a nice job of scoring runs for the most part. This team is not, it's not a bad power hitting team anymore, but it's also not a team that, you know, you think of as a power hitting team. All four of their runs in the Milwaukee series came courtesy of home runs. That concerns me. I don't know if it should, but it does. Because I think the team has done a really good job all year long of creating runs and using home runs when they presented themselves, but they didn't just rely on home runs to score runs. And man, they're just not hitting right now. And that to me is a big problem.
But Kwan was like 0 for everything this weekend, wasn't he?
Mark in Tremont sent me a text and he said he has Kenny Lofton disease. And then he explained that. It's a guy who's not a power hitter trying to hit home runs. I wonder if that's true.
I looked up a little stat this morning.
Oh, good.
That I thought you might enjoy.
Good. I like stats.
How would you like, not a power hitter, but a guy that can get on base, hitting about 245.
Wait a minute. Somebody available?
Somebody who's in AAA. Somebody who's making a lot of money.
Miles Straw has been absolutely on fire.
Yes,
in AAA. Absolutely on fire.
And?
I'll pass.
What if they brought him up, just a bolt of lightning throughout the team? Changes the whole thing, becomes the World Series MVP for this team.
There's somebody else.
Statue worthy? Yes.
Miles Straw over the last 15 days is hitting .345.
Yeah, I know.
But guess what?
What?
Over the last 15 days, with a batting average of .400, with 4 home runs and 11 runs batted in, and 10 strikeouts, your friend and mine, Esteban Florial.
Get him here. If we have to watch this kind of offense again for the rest of the season, they're not going to make the playoffs. But I will say, Andrew hit a good point. You do need to tip your cap to the Brewers. Right, Dan? You better tip your cap to the Brewers because they're a good team.
Yeah. I mean, the bullpen's outstanding and has been really good for the Brewers all season. You saw it this weekend.
Andy's looking at me.
Oh,
because
he's tipping
his cap. Tipping my cap. And Andy's like, what the hell is going on over there?
Like, what is it? First, I'm like, I'm trying to read the patch on the front of your, what is that, a walleye? What is that thing?
It's a fish.
For those of you paying attention
trout?
At home, think of the hat that Smalls was wearing in the beginning of The Sandlot, and you have Jeff's hat.
My oldest kid went to Florida. He thought it would be hilarious to bring me a hat with a fish on it because I don't fish.
So, it is kind of funny.
So he did.
I don't know. I was flipping through the channels, I think, when I had COVID last week.
Yeah.
And I saw Smalls in a recent movie.
Esteban Florial.
Man, he's in good shape. He looked pretty good. He looked good.
Esteban Florial is hitting .400 over the last 9 games with 4 home runs and 11 runs.
Oh, wait, it wasn't Smalls.
Bet,
it was the catcher. It was the kid
and 11 runs added in.
It was the other kid. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
There's a big difference between Smalls and the other kid.
Oh, you are paying attention to the conversation we're having on
400. Look, if you're not scoring runs and you're playing a bunch of guys anyway who look like they're 4A players, and I mean, congratulations, guys. You made the major leagues. That's unbelievable. But you're not getting a whole lot of offense out of a lot of these guys. I'm bringing up the hot guy now. And this is a guy who's bat was supposed to be his calling card. You brought him here because you thought he might be able to help you.
Isn't that the way they've piecemealed the entire season?
Yes. And Florial was apparently really, really respected in the clubhouse and really well-liked. You wouldn't disrupt anything. Andy, I'm bringing him up and I'm playing him. Lane Thomas is hitting, are you ready, as a Guardian? This just pains all of us. Because you made a trade to go bring in an outfielder, which is what you were supposed to do.
Right.
Your guy's hitting .113.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. I'm going to give you my expert opinion.
He's hitting .113 as a
guy that can't stand math. That's not good.
I mean,
I'm wondering how many Guardians, how many baseball fans here in Cleveland are like, okay, you know what? It was a great run. I'm not expecting anything else for the rest of the year.
Well, you can't do that.
I listen to you. I listen to Poobah. I don't know how Menegan feels about this, but I just, you have this like extreme confidence that everything is going to turn out all right.
Oh, no, I don't have that. Yeah, Why do you say that? I didn't say that.
It felt that way.
I think they can win it.
Jeff, is there a part of you that thinks they're not going to make the playoffs?
No. I think they'll make the playoffs. And I think they can win the division. All I know is you better use your options. Right now, you've got a guy who you think you thought at one point might be able to help you. And he's a big, strong guy, known for his bat, and he's hot in Columbus. I'm bringing Florial up. In fact, I'm shipping him to New York, and he can go up against his old team Tuesday.
I'll take it. And you bring Miles Straw up, and he can argue with the fans, too. What do you think of that?
No, I don't need Miles.
He's hitting the ball pretty well.
I don't need him.
That's what they need to do for the rest of the season, just kind of take whoever's hot. Get on the train, the 71 Express. We don't even have to take a train. You can take a car.
What's killing him is Lane Thomas is hitting 113 since he's been here. I mean, he was supposed to take care of one of those outfield spots and a decent spot in the batting order, and he's killing him. And that's painful. I feel terrible for him. I feel terrible for the organization because they made a trade and brought in an outfielder. Now, it wasn't the guy on Dan's radar. It wasn't on my radar. But the guy's had success the last couple of years, and it's just not working, Andy.
I'm not going to be shocked, and I know it says 90-something percent, and I said this to Poobah. I'm happy with the way things have played out this season. I think it's been a fun year, but my confidence level is not very strong right now. Now, take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. I'll be right back with you because this whole season's been up and down, up and down, up and down. I just don't know that that's going to happen.
Estevan Florial is hot. Is he the answer? Andy's throwing out his buddy Miles Straw.
I'm just saying.
Is he the answer? Is there an answer?
Should be as well. Tell your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan's taking care of all of us today. And Voldenlich's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. We're talking about the Guardians' lack of offense. And Dan dug up some numbers that are going to make you cry, Andy. We're going to hear from Razor in Ravenna first. Hello, Razor.
What's up, Razor?
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff and Andy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Enjoying the show on this dreary day, that's for sure.
I hear you. All right, what do you got for us?
I think the number 2 spot in our batting lineup has been too much of a revolving door without enough consistency, and that's just killer for any team that's trying to function in the major league. And I think a solution temporarily, maybe long term, we've seen it before, people might not be happy, but Jimenez, I think, needs to be batting back at number 2, so Kwan and Ramirez and Naylor can be complemented with a guy that can at least hit 250.
And he's been better since the All-Star break. He's had a better go of it, Razor. So
I love his glove, and I wouldn't take too many laughs about Miles Straw right now with some of the plays in the outfield that have not been made this year.
Okay, Razor, thank you very much. I know you want Miles back. I want the bat who can drive in some runs. That's Florial. Let's just see. And I say that based on a couple of things, Andy. Since after the All-Star break, okay? Since the All-Star break, Stephen Kwan, who was, you know, flirting with 400 since the All-Star break, has hit 225. That's not good. David Fry, who was hitting 360, since the All-Star break, David's hitting 230. That's not good. Bo Naylor's hitting 183. Brian Rocchio is hitting 175. Lane Thomas is hitting 113, as we said, since he's been here.
It's a Guardians Therapy Monday.
Hold on. Daniel Schneeman is hitting 163 since the All-Star break. Tyler Freeman is hitting 188 since the All-Star break. And Austin Hedges, top of the Faber pledge class at 200. So add all those up, and what do you get? Here are Menegan's numbers. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 30 games, 28 games actually played. So that's the time. Mm-hmm. The Guardians are hitting .218 as a team. That's 28th in Major League Baseball. Their on-base percentage is .276. That's second to last in Major League Baseball. Second to last. This is since July 20th. Mm. And their slugging percentage, which has always been the, yeah, but look at the slugging percentage. They're doing okay, is .367, which is 27th in Major League Baseball. Now, I don't think you can just take guys who might not be good hitters and turn them into good hitters in mid-August. So what do you do? I mean, you must pick up the offense if you want to go ahead and try and win this division. It's, to me, it's odd that so many guys are not hitting since the All-Star break. And I don't know a better word to use than odd, do you?
Like hitting is contagious. It is, both ways. I'm not trying to say anything that's the rocket science, but you know when you're in a lineup and things are getting hot, everybody starts to feel that same kind of confidence when they go up to the plate. I think what's surprising to me, though, is that the lack of offense they were able to have over the weekend, because Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I must have heard 10 times this weekend what a great place that is for hitters. Like, hitters love it's not it, what is what's the insurance company now, Great American or something?
It's always gonna be Miller Park.
But just hearing that, you know, that's such a great place to hit. That's such a great place to hit. Guys get their confidence there, that they feel good, that between that and Cincinnati, they're the best places to go to hit, that they just, hitters love it. And to watch what the Guardians were able to do this weekend in a place that was notorious for, you know, making hitters feel more confident, that's not good. How long were they no hit yesterday? Ugh. I thought they were going to get no hit yesterday, you know, and I just don't have the confidence I think maybe some other people have in this team, especially when you're looking at trying to piecemeal everything together. What, thrift shop. Like, it feels like things are outside of, like, Ramirez and, you think Kwan. Everything feels like a thrift shop with this team. It's true.
I think that's very true.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do here? I mean, I said this before with, you know, Amed Rosario being DFA'd by the Dodgers. If they could go get him, I would have gone and got him. They couldn't. Reds grabbed him. But you have three utility guys, basically. You have Tyler Freeman, you have Schneeman. There's two. And I'm not going to say Rocchio is a utility guy, because he's not. I think he's the best defensive shortstop we have. But those three guys, Rocchio 175, Schneeman 163, Freeman 188 since the All-Star break. Sorry, you don't need all three. I mean, so they can play a lot of positions. And I don't really include Rocchio in that, because he's, you know, almost primarily a shortstop, obviously. Mm-hmm. But nothing against Daniel Schneeman, great story. Nothing against Tyler Freeman, great story. And they've both been effective at times this year. You don't need two guys who can play a lot of positions, who are primarily, at least coming up, infielders, hitting 163 and 188 since the All-Star break. Get one of them out of here. Say, hey, thank you. Go down and be sharp. Find your swing again, like Will Brennan did. And we're going to bring up Miles Straw.
At this point, yeah, why
Andy,
not?
I would rather have Miles Straw here than Schneeman or Freeman.
And
especially since they're playing center field.
And they're paying him. They're paying him a lot of money to be in Columbus.
I mean, they got to pay him regardless. But I would bring up Floreal. Floreal has some oomph in his bat. Maybe now that he's hot in Columbus, maybe that carries over here. It worked for Will Brennan. Will's up and is doing a pretty nice job. Maybe it'll work for Esteban Floreal. Highly thought of Yankee prospect at one time.
I'm for it. I do whatever they need to do. I look at these games over the last 2 days, especially, where you only gave up two runs in both games, and you couldn't win those games. That stings. That's not the kind of loss this team can take and expect to have success. They gave up four runs in the last two games, and they scored one. They had four over the weekend. something's got to happen. If you want to have more, you know, confidence in this thing running down the, you know, you got last week of August here. Again,
you think Stephen Vogt's doing anything wrong? I find it hard to blame the manager.
I know, but there are times you wonder why. Sometimes he does, and that's being a manager. And I don't have any, like, I'm not sitting here criticizing him, but I also know this is his first run as a manager down the stretch. And, you know, you're running the marathon, and then you're wondering if Kansas City's just drafting behind you, you know? Minnesota just drafting behind you. And then all of a sudden you're going to hit that last leg and they're going to come around the corner and they're going to pass you.
Can I throw two other names at you?
Sure.
Last 15 days in Columbus, Kyle Manzardo hitting .238. He's hit three home runs, though. And are you sitting?
Yeah, I am. Oh, let me check. Yeah, I'm sitting.
Gabe Arias.
Ooh, what's he doing?
.303. I mean, we're looking. Dan's snickering over there. You know what, Dan? You should be snickering.
If the answer to your question is Gabriel Arias, you probably need to find a new question.
I don't know that the answer is. What I know is that we have a question that they don't have an answer to yet.
From what I'm staring at here, they're hitting a boatload of lazy fly balls.
All of these guys, as a team. Oh, you're saying the big
league. Yep, just grabbing team percentages and that stuff. They're hitting a bunch of lazy fly balls. So I partially wonder if it's when Andrew Siciliano brought it up, which is, hey, they're throwing you a lot of breaking balls, a lot of changeups, that kind of stuff.
And guys are getting out in front of it.
Stuff that are getting out in front, which usually causes lazy fly balls. Either that or usually bang them into the dirt, but they're hitting lazy fly balls out of it. I think it's one of those where maybe a off day today followed by a, you know, hey, everybody, FYI, we're getting a whole lot of breaking balls. You're going to want to sit back a little bit more and make those adjustments. You know, maybe change the machines a little bit on top of that. Again, I assume they're doing such things to begin with. But I'm not looking at anything down in AAA and going, my answer is there.
No, I'm not either, except for one thing. The answer is not on the major league roster.
It's going to have to be at this point of the year, man. Unless you think the Rangers yard sale that's going to take place of all their guys on waivers, some of those guys are going to find their way down to you, which I doubt because your record is too good in waivers that you're going to run into. Like, remember last year we ended up with Lucas Giolito, Matt Moore, and Ronaldo Lopez because the guards' record at that point was like right on the fringe that they could grab all those guys. Well, there's talk that the Rangers are going to do the same thing that the Angels did last year and unload a whole bunch of guys that might be free agents on the tail end to save some dough. If that ends up being the case, maybe a couple of those slip through the cracks and you could go there. But boy, I'm not looking in the minors and going, yep, that's the guy that's going to solve the problem. The guys who are going to solve the problem are the guys that are sitting on his bench. And it's time to look at them and go, gentlemen, you're hitting a whole bunch of lazy fly balls. Square some stuff up. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
Get back to walking.
Great. Those are great words, Dan.
I don't have a better solution.
I got a name for you.
Oh, goodness.
You bring in Stephen Vogt because he's already got a uniform. He's going to start hitting now?
No.
He had some power, made an all-star team. All-star.
.243 batting average, current free agent. Had 5 home runs this year. Started his career here. Urshela, free agent. RD, my man.
He was DFA'd, right?
Yep.
Where are you going to play him?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get a bat in the lineup. DH him. Do whatever you need to do.
I'd rather bring up Floreal.
All right. I'm just throwing it. I need to get somebody who can hit the ball. Just somebody who can spark this lineup a little bit.
I get that. Jonathan Rodriguez? Or are he... You ever see he and Junkenzie Noel together?
Are they the same guy? I don't know. You're implying they're one and the same?
I don't know. I thought Rodriguez looked pretty good when he was up here. I know he didn't hit very well, but I thought this is the kind of guy I want out there. Folks, you have any answers? Because things are getting a little tight. And maybe they don't have to get tight. But man, you're not hitting. Okay. Razor, thank you very much. I know you want Miles back. I want the bat who can drive in some runs. That's Floreal. Let's just see. And I say that based on a couple of things, Andy. Since after the All-Star break, okay? Since the All-Star break, Stephen Kwan, who was, you know, flirting with .400, since the All-Star break, has hit .225. That's not good. David Fry, who was hitting .360, since the All-Star break, David's hitting .230. That's not good. Bo Naylor's hitting .183. Brian Rocchio is hitting 175. Lane Thomas is hitting 113, as we said, since he's been here.
It's a Guardians Therapy Monday.
Hold on. Daniel Schneeman is hitting 163 since the All-Star break. Tyler Freeman is hitting 188 since the All-Star break. And Austin Hedges, top of the Faber pledge class at 200. So add all those up, and what do you get? Here are Menigan's numbers. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 30 games, 28 games actually played. So that's the time. Mm-hmm. The Guardians are hitting 218 as a team. That's 28th in Major League Baseball. Their on-base percentage is 276. That's second to last in Major League Baseball. Second to last. This is since July 20th. Mm. And their slugging percentage, which has always been the, yeah, but look at the slugging percentage. They're doing okay, is 367, which is 27th in Major League Baseball. Now, I don't think you can just take guys who might not be good hitters and turn them into good hitters in mid-August. So what do you do? I mean, you must pick up the offense if you want to go ahead and try and win this division. It's, to me, it's odd that so many guys are not hitting since the All-Star break. And I don't know a better word to use than odd, do you?
Like hitting is contagious. It is both ways. I'm not trying to say anything that's the rocket science, but you know when you're in a lineup and things are getting hot, everybody starts to feel that same kind of confidence when they go up to the plate. I think what's surprising to me, though, is that the lack of offense they were able to have over the weekend. Because, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I must have heard 10 times this weekend what a great place that is for hitters. Like, hitters love – what's the insurance company now? Great American or something like that?
It's always going to be Miller Park.
Miller Park. But just hearing that, you know, that's such a great place to hit. That's such a great place to hit. Guys get their confidence there, that – they feel good that between that and Cincinnati, they're the best places to go to hit. That they just hitters love it. And to watch what the Guardians were able to do this weekend in a place that was notorious for, you know, making hitters feel more confident, that's not good. How long were they no hit yesterday? Ugh. I thought they were going to get no hit yesterday, you know, and I just don't have the confidence I think maybe some other people have in this team, especially when you're looking at trying to piecemeal everything together. What thrift shop. Like, it feels like things are outside of, like, Ramirez and, you think Kwan. It's everything feels like a thrift shop with this team. It's true.
I think that's very true.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do here? I mean, I said this before with, you know, Amed Rosario being DFA'd by the Dodgers. If they could go get him, I would have gone and got him. They couldn't. Reds grabbed him. But you have three utility guys, basically. You have Tyler Freeman. You have Schneeman. There's two. And I'm not going to say Rocchio is a utility guy because he's not. I think he's the best defensive shortstop we have. But those three guys, Rocchio 175, Schneeman 163, Freeman 188 since the All-Star break. Sorry, you don't need all three. I mean, so they can play a lot of positions. And I don't really include Rocchio in that because he's, you know, almost primarily a shortstop, obviously. Mm-hmm. But nothing against Daniel Schneeman, great story. Nothing against Tyler Freeman, great story. And they've both been effective at times this year. You don't need two guys who can play a lot of positions who are primarily, at least coming up, infielders, hitting 163 and 188 since the All-Star break. Get one of them out of here. Say, hey, thank you. Go down and be sharp. Find your swing again, like Will Brennan did. And we're going to bring up Miles Straw.
Why not?
I would rather have Miles Straw here than Schneeman or Freeman.
Especially since
they're playing center field.
And they're paying him. They're paying him a lot of money to be in Columbus.
I mean, they got to pay him regardless. But I would bring up Floreal. Floreal has some oomph in his bat. Maybe now that he's hot in Columbus, maybe that carries over here. It worked for Will Brennan. Will's up and is doing a pretty nice job. Maybe it'll work for Esteban Florial, highly thought of Yankee prospect at one time.
I'm for it. I do whatever they need to do. I look at these games over the last 2 days, especially where you only gave up two runs in both games and you couldn't win those games. That stings. That's not the kind of loss this team can take and expect to have success. I mean, they gave up four runs in the last two games, and they scored one. They had four over the weekend. Something's got to happen if you want to have more, confidence in this thing running down to, you got last week of August here. Again, I wonder,
Stephen Vogt's doing anything wrong? I find it hard to blame the manager.
I know, but there are times you wonder why. Sometimes he does, and that's being a manager. And I don't have any, I'm not sitting here criticizing him, but I also know this is his first run as a manager down the stretch. And, you're running the marathon, and then you're wondering if Kansas City's just drafting behind you, Minnesota just drafting behind you. And then all of a sudden, you're going to hit that last leg, and they're going to come around the corner, and they're going to pass you.
Can I throw two other names at you?
Sure.
Last 15 days in Columbus, Kyle Manzardo hitting .238. He's hit three home runs, though. And are you sitting?
Yeah, I am. Oh, let me check. Yeah, I'm sitting.
Gabe Arias.
Ooh, what's he doing?
.303. I mean, we're looking. Dan's snickering over there. You know what, Dan? You should be snickering.
If the answer to your question is Gabriel Arias, you probably need to find a new question.
I don't know that the answer is. What I know is that we have a question that they don't have an answer to yet.
From what I'm staring at here, they're hitting a boatload of lazy fly balls.
All of these guys, as a team. Oh, you're saying the big
league. Yep, just grabbing team percentages and that stuff. They're hitting a bunch of lazy fly balls. So I partially wonder if it's when Andrew Siciliano brought it up, which is, hey, they're throwing you a lot of breaking balls, a lot of changeups, that kind of stuff.
And guys are getting out in front of it.
Stuff that are getting out in front, which usually causes lazy fly balls. Either that or usually bang them into the dirt, but they're hitting lazy fly balls out of it. I think it's one of those where maybe a off day today followed by a, hey, everybody, FYI, we're getting a whole lot of breaking balls. You're going to want to sit back a little bit more and make those adjustments. Maybe change the machines a little bit on top of that. Again, I assume they're doing such things to begin with. But I'm not looking at anything down in AAA and going, my answer is there.
No, Dan, I'm not either, except for one thing. The answer is not on the major league roster.
It's going to have to be at this point of the year, man. Unless you think the Rangers yard sale that's going to take place of all their guys on waivers, some of those guys are going to find their way down to you, which I doubt because your record is too good in waivers that you're going to run into. Remember, last year we ended up with Lucas Giolito, Matt Moore, and Ronaldo Lopez because the guards' record at that point was right on the fringe that they could grab all those guys. Well, there's talk that the Rangers are going to do the same thing that the Angels did last year and unload a whole bunch of guys that might be free agents on the tail end to save some dough. If that ends up being the case, maybe a couple of those slip through the cracks and you could go there. But boy, I'm not looking in the minors and going, yep, that's the guy that's going to solve the problem. The guys who are going to solve the problem are the guys that are sitting on his bench. And it's time to look at them and go, gentlemen, you're hitting a whole bunch of lazy fly balls. Square some stuff up. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
Get back to walking.
Great. Those are great words, Dan.
I don't have a better solution.
I got a name for you.
Oh, goodness.
You bring in Stephen Vogt because he's already got a uniform. He's going to start hitting now?
No. He had some power, made an all-star team. All-star.
243 batting average, current free agent. Had five home runs this year. Started his career here. Urshela, free agent. RD, my man.
He was DFA'd, right?
Yep.
Where are you going to play him?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get a bat in the lineup. DH him. Do whatever you need to do.
I'd rather bring up Florial.
All right. I'm just throwing it. I need to get somebody who can hit the ball. Just somebody who can spark this lineup a little bit.
I get that. Jonathan Rodriguez? Or are he... You ever see he and... Junkenzie Noel together?
Are they the same guy? I don't know. You're implying they're one and the same?
I don't know. I thought Rodriguez looked pretty good when he was up here. I know he didn't hit very well, but I thought this is the kind of guy I want out there. Folks, you have any answers? Because things are getting a little tight. And maybe they don't have to get tight. But man, you're not hitting.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.